Welcome to the Conceive Baby podcast. My name's Tasha Jennings, fertility naturopath and nutritionist. In each episode, I share with you my best fertility tips and introduce you to world-leading fertility experts to help you improve your fertility well-being to create your healthy pregnancy. Welcome to today's episode of the Conceive Baby podcast. I'm fertility naturopath and nutritionist Tasha Jennings, and I love helping proactive women and couples improve their fertility well-being to create healthy pregnancies and healthy babies through my private online one-to-one consulting, my premium prenatal supplement, Zycia Natal Nutrients, and my six-week online program, Your Fertile Pantry. Now, today we're diving into the world of menstrual cycles and particularly how to better understand your unique cycle to help you create your healthy pregnancy. Because a healthy menstrual cycle and ovulation is vital to creating a pregnancy. But did you know that you might be getting your period without ovulating? And that if you are ovulating, only around 14% of women actually ovulate on day 14, like the textbook tells us. Also, that once you've ovulated, your egg only lives for around 12 to 24 hours each month, but it's actually really only capable of being fertilized within those first 4 hours. Yet, despite how important this is, research shows that almost 90% of women attending IVF clinics, so had already been trying for some time, didn't have a good understanding of their cycle and their fertile window. So today we're going to be talking about how you can get a better understanding of your cycle and your fertile window, as well as new technology that can help make that easier. And to dive into this topic, my guest today is Olivia Orchowski. Olivia is a personal trainer, women's health coach, doula, and founder of Femtech. Olivia has spent almost a decade working with women, and in that time, realize just how many of these women were suffering from poor body literacy, menstrual health issues, and were really utterly disconnected from their fifth vital sign, their menstrual cycle. This led her to years of research and development to then birth Femtech into the world. Femtech is the name behind the world's first menstrual health focused smart ring, aiming to provide a new cycle tracking experience and body literacy to women worldwide. So, welcome, Olivia.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you for having me on. I'm very excited to be chatting to you.
Now, I'm excited with the technology you're creating and I guess what you've done in this space. But first of all, tell us a little bit about your journey and how you came to work in fitness and health, and I guess women's health in particular.
It's such a long story, and I feel like I have to like backtrack sometimes to my teen years, because when I was a teenager, I was actually modeling. And then when I finished high school, I started modeling overseas and traveling. And it was in these situations that I first started to get exposed to a lot of women who were very unhealthy. I mean, if you think of the stereotype of what a model is, binging, purging, laxatives, that's what I was exposed to. And it was through this time, if you look at the modeling industry, they have their standards. I mean, well, back then they had standards of we need this measurement, this measurement, this measurement. And so when I needed to get down to the measurements that they needed me at for certain countries, you know, Singapore had a very small hip and waist measurement that they demanded. I did it through training, and I went to the gym and I would be lifting weights. I wouldn't be restricting calories as much as some girls, but, you know, that's how it came to. And so my mind always was the healthy way to lose weight was with training. And even if you're not trying to lose weight, at least move. So when I was modeling, I was the PT mum. I wasn't even a personal trainer, but I was the PT mum of all the girls, where I'd be getting them out and going to train and exercise, because I always saw it as a healthier way to lose weight, to actually just move as opposed to binging and purging. Mm. So that was really where I was first exposed to a lot of girls and women who had really unhealthy relationships with their bodies. None of them had a menstrual cycle, but of course, at that point in your life, that's not something that you really focus on. You just hear the flippant comment of, oh, I haven't had my period in 2 years. It's great. Yeah. And so then when I came back to Australia, I was very unfulfilled with the industry at that time. I didn't feel like I was making a lot of personal connections. I didn't feel like I was being mentally stimulated. And so it was looking for something else to do, because I'd already had this interest in health. I thought, what can I do to work in that industry, in the health industry, and help people? And of course, by that point, I was 24. So you're thinking, oh my God, I'm so old. And now I look back, I'm like, oh good God, I was not old. But you sit there and think, I'm so old, I can't possibly go and do a 4-year degree. I'll be almost 30 by the time that I'm making any money. That's insane. it's funny how you look back on these thoughts and you're like, stories. Oh my God, the short-sightedness. So I qualified as a personal trainer.
Yeah.
Because that was the fastest way. And I already had interests and experience in that industry. So it was the fastest way to be working with people and helping people. And it really was there that I, you know, you get thrown into the commercial gym setting. Mm-hmm. And that's really where I think it began. So that's where I was exposed to a lot of women, a lot of different clients, a huge client base. And that's really where it was like, wow, okay, this, what's going on here?
Yeah. And you obviously had that background with seeing those unhealthy relationships with women and their bodies, and then doing your health coaching, and now you're a doula as well. So really looking in that fertility space, which is, I guess, what we're talking about our cycles in relation to today.
Yeah.
And I know that, yes, you're right. In our, you know, when we're younger, we don't really notice our menstrual cycles. In fact, we're almost encouraged to shut them down with a pill. We ignore them. And, you know, as a, those stats that I threw out earlier that I actually find quite, you know, shocking, really, that, you know, almost 90% of women who are obviously having issues attending an IVF clinic, you know, really don't understand their bodies. And I have to say, I was one of them. I was a naturopath. I knew the textbook cycle inside out. I knew how the hormones fluctuate. I knew how ovulation worked. I knew the LHFA. I knew the textbook, but I didn't know my personal body. I wasn't really, you know, taught to understand that. I'd been put on the pill, you know, when I was 16 for acne, and you just stay on that until you want to fall pregnant, pretty much. And so I really resonate with that disconnect that we have. And I use body basal body temperature charting a lot with my patients because I know mine was flatline. I was horrified to find out when we were trying to fall pregnant, like, no wonder I'm not getting pregnant.
No wonder.
And so I really love that we're getting this awareness out there earlier, that people aren't ending up at IVF clinics before we're looking into this side of things. So let's talk about basal posi temperature charting for people, I guess, relatively new to this space. How does that work, and how do we use that in our charting, our cycle and ovulation?
So basal body temperature is such a phenomenal, easy and relatively free way to track fertility. And it's mind-boggling to me that this isn't common knowledge. It isn't taught in sex ed at school. Yes, we look at our menstrual cycle and our bleed as something that can dictate what is going on with our health. If it's too heavy, if it's too light, if there's blood clots, we know what that's meaning. But we fail to look at when we ovulate in a cycle and how long that luteal phase is as a marker of our health and fertility as well. So basal body temperature, once you ovulate, it spikes and it elevates. So there are different rules of how much it needs to spike. In degrees Celsius, it's 0.2 degrees Celsius we look at over a cover line, which is a line that is just a visual representation, which is drawn on a chart. And that cover line sits at the highest of the last six temperatures.
Mm.
So if on day 14, my highest temperature was 36.2, and then by day 20, 21, 22, that temperature has gone up to 36.5, 36.6, and it's consistently elevated, we can say ovulation has occurred. It is such a phenomenal way to look at fertility because, of course, in terms of fertility, we're looking at ovulation occurring. But when we look at when implantation actually occurs between days 6 to 10,
mm-hmm.
if you have a 7-day luteal phase, if you have a 5-day luteal phase, when are you going to get pregnant? Implantation can't actually occur. So it's such a phenomenal way to look at fertility and to look at data and your own cycle information and what can I do to actually improve it. If your luteal phase is really short, absolutely, we're going to be looking at increasing progesterone. So what can we do to increase progesterone for you, whether that's with supplements, with nutrition, with other holistic changes in your home, in your lifestyle, prioritizing sleep. There are so many ways that we need to look at it, but it's just such a phenomenal way to look at fertility and also add a little tool into your toolbox in terms of your own fertility awareness knowledge.
And as you said, such a simple, free, or relatively free tool. It's just really tracking your temperature. And when we're talking about the luteal phase, that is the last part of your cycle, so after ovulation. And as you said, if that's short, if that's under 10 days, you know, ideally it's 14. If it's under 10, you're really going to struggle for that embryo to implant. So even if you're getting fertilization, it may not be implanting. And I think the temperature tells us so much, not just about, you know, if you've ovulated, but is that progesterone staying, you know, strong until you bleed, or are we getting the temperatures drop off, or are they quite low all over? And, you know, we're getting that adrenal fatigue there. So there is so much that our temperatures can show us. And I love, the more data we can collect, the better. So there's going to be natural fluctuations. You might have a sore throat or something like that in your temple spike. But overall, if we can get this data, we can really see what your cycle is doing. And I would love to, as you said, see this in sex ed. I would love for people to understand this so that they can, when they are ready to conceive, you already really can understand your cycle. And it helps us look at the whys. I know I use it in my patients because I want to know, okay, we've got that short little luteal phase. Why is that happening, and how do we fix that? And oftentimes it's relatively simple and we can get them pregnant, which is exciting. So basal body temper, I think, is so important in this understanding. And there's a number of ways you can do that. Obviously, you can track it on a bit of paper, which is, I've got my old-fashioned pen and paper chart. And look, there's apps you can put that in. But tell us a bit more about the technology, I guess, you created to help women do this a bit more simply with FemTech.
Yeah, so the issue I was having with a lot of my clients when I would go back to the years where I was personal training and working face-to-face with clients, when I started to realize that, you know, every second one of them had PCOS, there was always something wrong with their cycle. Trying to get data out of them for their cycle outside of my app will say that I have my period in this many days. My app says that I'm ovulating now, and a screenshot of the actual cycle length. There was very little information I could actually get out of them.
And we'll just say there that those apps, if you're not entering data, are not accurate. So it may say you're ovulating on day 14, definitely not
the software. Don't start me on the software, because we'll progress so hard, we'll turn into a 3-hour podcast. And so I was trying to get data from my clients, and trying to get them to take a morning temperature was like pulling teeth. I couldn't get them to do it. And it's a little bit different. I think you have two types of women when it comes to this sort of temperature tracking and fertility awareness. You have women who are trying to get pregnant and are absolutely balls to the wall. Whatever you tell them to do, will do. And then there are the women who want to have healthy cycles, but doing that extra bit to take that temperature, it's just, they always forget. They're always busy. They're always, and I mean, then that ties into why they're having menstrual cycle dysfunction, because they're so busy and stressed. But they wouldn't take their temperature and they'd always be forgetting. And I'd never have a full chart to actually look at. I never knew what to do. So even in terms of training, there's different things you can do with training intensity and volume based on where you are in your cycle, if you've confirmed ovulation. And I could never confirm ovulation for them because they wouldn't take their temperatures. So it's thanks to them that this was actually birthed. So I wanted to create something that wasn't just able to take their temperature, because if you look at then the women who are using these devices, they're women who are either trying to conceive or actively trying to avoid pregnancy, but they're using a wearable because they can't take a morning temperature for whatever reason. Yeah. You know, they might need to wake up and have a weak bladder. They might be breastfeeding, whatever reason it may be.
And even so that I find with my patients, even just to digress there in regards to taking the temperature, it is a reminder. And I say, even when I was wanting to fall pregnant, it's a reminder, you get your period. Like you don't actually, it's frustrating enough to not be conceiving, but have that constant reminder every morning, charting your temperature, and it's not looking the way you want it, and you just feel exhausted. So it's just that extra step that is exhausting on a lot of levels. Yes, keep going with how you make that easier.
Yeah, it's hard. I've had the same feedback from so many clients who have been trying to get pregnant, where their temperature stresses them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it should be the thing that stresses you out the least. Yeah. So I really wanted to create something that was non-invasive, could take your temperature overnight, because a lot of these women aren't using fertility awareness methods as their primary form of birth control. They're using protection. They're abstaining anyway. So I wanted to create something that was able to take their temperature and some of their biomarkers overnight, because of course heart rate variability are incredibly important in terms of stress physiology as well. And, you know, stress and the menstrual cycle are like this.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to create something and they could actually make that happen, because unfortunately there was nothing on the market that could track their temperatures the way I wanted to, or their vitals the way I wanted to. And what was on the market was just the temperature component. And then the expectation to have my clients buy 5 different pieces of tech and wearables just to appease me and what I'm trying to do for them was also unreasonable. You know, they're not going to spend $1,000 on a heart rate monitor and then a watch and another temperature and another thermometer. And so that's really where it was born from my clients who didn't want to take their temperature. And I needed to get their data somehow. So, yeah.
Well, all thanks to them, because it is a big thing. And whether it is just, as you said, don't have time to take your temperature, or it becomes a stress and you need to take it at the same time each morning, you have to have not gotten up for the last couple of hours, or that can throw it out as well. So there's a few caveats around it which make it difficult. And I don't want my patients waking up at 6 a.m. on Sunday to take their temperature, because that's what time they get up, you know, to go to work. All of those things can make it a bit more difficult to get that accurate data. So there are, I mean, obviously lots of wearables on the market. You know, you've got Apple Watches and, you know, all these different, I'm not really up with them. There's millions more than I can think of, I'm sure. But this is the first to really be specifically focused to women and menstrual cycles. So tell us what it measures and how it, I guess, works to take that temperature overnight. Are they wearing it all the time? How would this look?
So it's a ring that's worn overnight. I think that was really important to me from the get-go, because when you consider the personal style of women, how much that varies from woman to woman, not every woman wants to wear a big bulky ring. Not every woman wants to wear an Apple Watch. You know, there are so many women who just will completely push away Apple and Fitbit and Garmin because it really doesn't suit their aesthetic. So as a starting point, that's probably one of the biggest key differences, that this is only worn overnight. And I mean, you're going to get the most accurate data overnight because you're not moving around as much and you're not stressing and you're not running around and you're not stuck in traffic and your heart rate's not going up because of that. You're going to get the biggest block of what should be restorative sleep and recovery. and most accurate measurements. So it measures your temperature, surface temperature. So we have two temperature sensors for that, which are actually patent pending, which is awesome. So one of them measures your skin and the other one measures your ambient temperature. So if it's a really hot night or a really cold night, the temperature between the two sensors will do its engineering thing, which is well above my pay grade. The engineers worked that out. And it will give you a result that isn't affected by that. So, you know, I think of it in the way of if you put your hand in a warm bowl of water, obviously that temperature is going to increase. So same way, if you're going to put your hands under the doona for whatever reason and then out of the doona, that temperature is going to change and it needs to be accounted for. Yeah. So there's the temperature reading from that component. And then we also have heart rate and heart rate variability. So they're two phenomenal markers to look at in terms of stress physiology. Mm. So as we said, stress and the menstrual cycle are best friends, go hand in hand. And when we're looking at aspects of fertility, and in particular trying to get pregnant, because fertility isn't just about trying to get pregnant. You should be wanting to be fertile, even if you're not trying to get pregnant, because yeah. that's a marker of health. And it's showing yeah. that we're ovulating and our progesterone is high and we have a healthy cycle. And we have a body that feels safe enough to actually get pregnant. And they're just phenomenal markers to look at in terms of fertility and stress physiology. So we've got yeah. that in there as well. And we've actually got an SpO2, so oxygen saturation measurement in there as well, but we haven't done anything with that for the first version of the app. So that's just sitting and waiting, ready to go for when we integrate it into the app. So all of our adopters get that added bonus of having that already in there. So in terms of how it compares to what a lot of the other wearables on the market is, I mean, we are the first ones to make something exclusively for women, which isn't just your temperature. Because there are other wearables on the market who track your temperature overnight, but we're the ones who have really honed into our niche, into fertility, into women wanting healthy cycles, into women who have variances in their cycles. As you said, only 14% of women ovulate on day 14. Software isn't going to work for them. They need to know where they're ovulating. Our women who have PCOS, they could be ovulating on day 14. They could be ovulating on day 40. It's really an unknown. And having come from PCOS as well, so I was actually an undiagnosed celiac and had a PCOS diagnosis slapped on me and then found out I was celiac.
Interesting.
And magic after my celiac was under control, celiac disease, my cycle started to become regular.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So there's a certain level of stress that I can empathize with for women who have PCOS in not knowing if they're pregnant or not.
Yeah.
And you get to day 45 of your cycle and you're thinking, oh my God, I haven't had my period in 1.5 months. Am I pregnant? And you're doing pregnancy tests like a mad woman. What's going on? Maybe I just didn't pee at the right time of the day. Maybe it was too diluted. Maybe I actually am pregnant. It's really stressful. So having that knowledge that, okay, I just haven't ovulated yet, I think does wonders for mental health of women with PCOS.
It does. And I love as a clinician seeing the data, you know, I can tell that they've fallen pregnant before they're pregnant. You know, I've had some of my chart, my starts staying high. What's going on? I'm like, oh, yay. And you know, you go, okay, you should do a pregnancy test now.
It's very fun looking at those charts especially when they log any types of like discharge after they've ovulated, that they're like, oh, I haven't seen this before. And they're like, oh, does this mean I'm pregnant? I'm like, I don't know. We'll just keep tracking. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, it does. Probably with you, with what I know your luteal phase is like, it does.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's always exciting to be able to see. And it's great that we can have, I guess, a device that makes it easier. So you're not having that temperature and even that temperature slight variation. I know, as you said, you have people who forget and then you have people who obsess. And I have others who it was like point degree out when I took it a second time, 30 seconds later. And then I took it again, 30 seconds later, it was slightly different. And now I'm panicking and Like it's really good to just have this that measures it all of the time. And also the other, I mean, great things that we can measure now, like the heart rate and the heart rate variability, which I love that you do overnight, because I'm big on overnight. I'm big on getting good quality sleep. And it was interesting. I did another interview with a researcher looking into all the NAD plus research and the amazing anti-aging properties this has on that mitochondrial energy. And it's great that we can have supplements with these things now, but fundamentally, the best way you can improve your NAD plus pathways and your mitochondrial energy is through getting good quality sleep. And I see there's two types of sleep I often see, and I call them, one I call recovery sleep and one's rejuvenating sleep. And a lot of people get recovery sleep, what I call it's that run, slam into the wall at the end of the day, bang, and then recover to baseline and then do it all over again. And that's not what we want for fertility. You know, an overnight is the only time we really get to, our body gets to anyway, focus on rejuvenating that reproductive system. It's all about brain and extremities and rushing around, whereas we want that rejuvenating sleep. So actually looking at that heart rate variability and how that's working overnight. I often do, you know, cortisol tests and things like that for women because that is so important. And if they think they're sleeping, like, no, I sleep 7-8 hours a night, bang, don't wake up. But I'm like, if you're still in a stress state and your mind's really active and you wake up exhausted, that's not really great quality sleep as well. So great that you can track that through something so simple.
It's absolutely so important to be tracking that in that state. And I think it's when I look at the stress markers that we're tracking in the ring as well, I think it's so important for not only women, but men as well, to understand. I mean, cortisol is not a bad thing, right? Mm. You know, it is our survival hormone. We need it.
Yeah.
It's when it's unchecked that it's a problem. Yeah. And if you really look at the nitty gritty of steroid pathways and how all of our hormones are made and what their precursors are and how they all come from cholesterol and then goes to pregnenolone, cortisol is made from pregnenolone. Progesterone is made from pregnenolone. Mm-hmm. If your pregnenolone is being prioritized for cortisol, it's not going to go to progesterone. And it's not like you can just top that up and, I'll pull more here and then a little bit extra there. It's going to be prioritized to cortisol. So I think even seeing that in black and white, if your heart rate variability is absolutely horrendous and your heart rate is super high, wow, okay, what do we actually need to focus on? Maybe it's not the supplements. Maybe it's not the trying to get pregnant. Maybe it's not the timing pregnancy. Maybe it is stress. And I know that that is such a hard and triggering thing for a lot of women who suffer with infertility, because everyone always says, like, you know, we spoke about this previously, Tash, everyone always says, just go on a holiday and you'll get pregnant. And it's so hard for women who are experiencing infertility.
Oh, yeah. I got that said to me. You want to punch them in the face. Yeah.
You do. And it's absolutely awful. But stress is such a key driver of infertility for so many women, or women who struggle to get pregnant. And it all starts there with sleep, getting good quality sleep.
Keep going.
I was just going to say, if we're able to actually track these markers overnight where we're supposed to be getting good quality sleep, I mean, that's a great place to start.
And I think having that data and understanding that data and understanding that we don't need to go live on a mountain in a Zen tent, you know, that I think that would stress me out more. And I see a lot of that in my clinic. I see type A personalities who are highly stressed. They're highly driven. They've succeeded in everything they do. I mean, as you said, we like speaking to the converted here with everything you do, and everything you've done is based on hard work, striving, goal setting, and you've achieved everything. So your body goes, hey, I want to get pregnant. I'm going to do the same thing. I'm going to strive and achieve and goal set. And unfortunately, fertility doesn't work that way. And I found out the hard way myself that it doesn't work that way. And I see that a lot in my patients, but also knowing that it doesn't mean you need to just go, you know, meditate 24 hours a day. Stress is a good thing. Cortisol is a good thing, but we just need to make sure it's well managed and you have strategies in place. So we're not saying you need to, you know, quit your job necessarily or go on this, you know, magical holiday that costs too much and you can't afford anyway. It's just about giving you strategies. And I think seeing the data too, because a lot of the women that I see too, in my opinion, they have a higher stress threshold maybe. And so you say, it's just, no, I'm fine. I'm working, you know, 10 hours a day. I'm doing this, that, and the other, but all hunky-dory. And then when you look at that cause, you're like, hang on a minute. Yes, you feel okay because it's what your coping mechanism is, but there is some things going underlying here. And just a matter of working with them and giving some strategies to, you know, whether that is, I've got a little evening fertility ritual that I give to my patients that can take, you know, a couple of minutes, if that, just to really bring down that cortisol before sleep. That may be all they need. And we see the difference in their cortisol morning levels and we see the difference in their heart rate variability. And that can really help with, you know, getting that cycle on track. So I think it's understanding the data, seeing what's going on for your body, and then we can work with strategies that work in with you and your lifestyle and know that it's not your fault, any of these things, that stress isn't, you know, what you're doing to your body. It's how we cope with it and what we do from here and what we do with that data that's so important.
Absolutely. And it's you can't fix what you don't measure.
Exactly.
So when you measure, you have a starting place. It's why we go and get blood work or do functional testing. We then know. So this is just an easy way for women to measure and then know where they are.
Yep. And I think, as I said, my basal body temperature was flatline. So even as a naturopath, I was thinking I was trying to fall pregnant and wasn't ovulating. So these things, you know, are things we need to check nice and early on so we have the data to be able to work out what's happening and make advances from there. So we will put all the links in the show notes, but where can people go to if they think, okay, this sounds great, this thing's something that I need to look into, where's the first place they should look for the BB ring, as you call it, is it? Basal body ring, the BB ring?
The BB ring. So at the moment, we launched on Kickstarter.
Yep.
So at the moment, they can go and pre-order on Kickstarter, and then the next drop that we will be probably in the last quarter of this year. So at this point, if you want to get your hands on a BB ring, Kickstarter will be the place to go. So all of the links are in our Instagrams, in our bios, so you'll not struggle to find it at all, I promise you. And you can check us out at Femtech, so FEM.TEK at Instagram.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Olivia. And thanks for doing this research and development. And thanks to those women who didn't want to chart their temperatures for you years ago and sent you on this path. So we'll have all those links in the show notes. So jump on there and have a look at everything Femtech is doing.
Thanks
for being with us see you next time.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Conceive Baby podcast. To help you move forward on your journey to pregnancy, I've created your free fertility checklist for you. This checklist provides simple swaps you can make that can have a significant impact on your chances of conceiving and carrying your healthy baby. So be sure to head to conceivebaby.com.au/checklist to download your free fertility checklist today.